This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
I had a trainer at the YMCA. Her name was Jody, a sweet woman. And my wife and I love her so very much, and she helped me physically. She helped me to stay active. One of the things she tried to do was to help me with my balance. And in doing that, she would tell me to pick out something on the other side of the wall, on the gym, or looking on the wall, or some object, and to stay focused on that. And I noticed that if I would take my eyes off of that, well, then I would begin to lose my balance. I think the reason some people are a little bit unbalanced in life is because they're not focused properly. Stay tuned. We want to talk about that today, how to stay focused in life. Now, I'm Billy Lambert. I'm the speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible, and I just am delighted that you're watching today. It just thrills my heart to know that you're watching, and we hope that you will stay tuned today. Now, on Getting to Know Your Bible, we provide a free Bible correspondence course. There's so many people that have taken this course. I just don't really know how many thousands and thousands of people have, but it's up in the thousands, and we want you to have a part in this great study course as well. Now that you might know how to receive the course, and actually what's some of the things about the course itself, we're going to pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I'm reading now from the 12th chapter of Hebrews, where the Bible says, beginning in verse 1, "Seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside the weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, looking unto Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down on the right hand of the throne of God." The part of that I want us to look at is looking unto Jesus, staying focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that one of Satan's greatest devices is distraction. I think that would be right behind discouragement and deceit. He's a master. He's a master at distraction, a master at discouragement, as well as deceit. He used all three of those on Mother Eve. He used distraction. He got her attention off of God and pointed to the tree and told her that the tree would be good for her to eat. Then there was the deceit. He said, "If you eat it, you will not die." That was a lie. He's the father of lies, according to John 8 and verse 44. And then there was this discouragement. After Adam and Eve ate of that forbidden fruit, they became discouraged and ashamed, and they hid themselves in the garden. So he used all three of those devices against Eve: distraction, deceit, and discouragement. And he caused her to lose focus on God. Now, he's still using these devices today. But we want to think about the device of distraction. And there are so many distractions that we have in life. All around us, it's hard to even get outside your home without running into some kind of something that will distract you. You think about things inside the home. There's your television. There's so many things on television. If you just start focusing on certain things on there, the things that are of a negative nature, you'll become so distracted that it can begin to affect your attitude. Think about the way that many have become distracted using just a simple telephone. Our young people are so distracted. You go to some store, and here's a mother has children with her, and every child has a telephone in his or her hand, and they're walking behind mother with their heads down. They're distracted. They have absolutely no idea what's going on around them. Or are there other distractions? Sometimes we become the target of someone's vicious criticism, and we begin to focus on that, and it's nothing more than one of Satan's distractions. And sometimes we get distracted because of an illness. And I know an illness can certainly get you off of balance and out of, your life out of balance with an illness. And so there's so many things that are distracting in life. And he used it on the Apostle Peter. And in Matthew, the 14th chapter, there's an occasion when the disciples were out in a boat, and here comes Jesus walking on the water out to them. And when Jesus identifies himself, Peter says, "Well, Lord, I want to walk on the water." So Peter starts walking on the water, and then he looks down at the waves and he begins to sink. You see, it was when Peter lost his focus on Jesus that he began to sink. He started looking at the waves rather than the Lord of the waves, and he began to sink. And there are people right now that are watching right now that may say, "Well, you know, I can identify with Peter because I've allowed things to get my eyes off of the Lord. I've allowed COVID-19 to get my eyes off of the Lord. Or I've allowed somebody, what somebody said to me at work, to get my focus off of the Lord." All kinds of things that Satan uses to distract us today. He used that on Demas. Demas was distracted by the world. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, Paul said, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." He got his focus off of Paul. He got his focus off of the Lord by looking at the world. Think about all the people that in your life, people of acquaintances of yours, people that you love, but you know because of the way they act and the things they do that they have been distracted by the world. You see, the Bible teaches that as Christians, we're not to be conformed to the world, and we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We're not to love the world, 1 John verse 2 and verse 15. And so we're not to love the world. We're not to be distracted by it. But this is what happened to Demas. The old devil used that device of distraction and got him. It was used on Ananias and Sapphira. Now, the thing that caused their distraction was money. They had a piece of land. They sold it, and they brought the part of the price, and they claimed that was all of it. Well, Peter said, asked Ananias, "Why have you lied to God? Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? Why has Satan filled your heart to lie?" And it was Satan that caused them to lie. He got them distracted by the love of money. You see, Satan is still using the device today. Do not, and I underscore that in red, do not allow the evil one to distract you. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 7, "Neither give place to the devil." That's just another way of Paul saying, do not be distracted. Now, if we do not do that, what are we going to have to do? We must stay focused. We must stay focused. And by focusing on Jesus Christ, it is easier to focus on other things of importance in our lives. But let's think first of all about keeping our focus on Christ. Now that's where Paul was. Let's listen to the Apostle Paul in Philippians 1 and verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Every soul needs something in his or her life that's stronger than self. And that which you can have in your life stronger than self is Jesus. In that same book of Philippians, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I need to stay focused on the one who can give me strength, who can help me. In Philippians 1 and verse 20, Paul said, whether I live or whether I die, Christ is magnified in my body. As we live our lives day in and day out, we need to live lives that magnify Jesus. When something is magnified, that means it's an enlarged. And we need to give the world an enlarged vision of Jesus by the way that we live our lives. You see, all of life is organized around some kind of a center. And Jesus is that which is the focal point of the Christian's life. You give your life to Christ. On the day of Pentecost, the people gave their lives to Christ. They heard a tremendous sermon the Apostle Peter preached about the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they cried and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They wanted to know what to do to be saved. It might be that that's what you're wondering. It may be that you've been wondering about what to do to be saved. Peter's answer was, and that's in the 38th verse of that same chapter, Peter answered and said unto them, repent. And that means to turn again, to turn away from sin. Now let that be the focus of your life. No, it's no longer the focus of your life to sin. Something else has gotten your attention. Jesus has your attention now. And you turn away from it and you put it behind you. Repent and anything else, be baptized. What is baptism? Well, baptism is a burial in water, Colossians 2:12. So baptism, be baptized. How many of them need to do to repent and be baptized? Every one of you, by whose authority? In the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority of Christ. And what will be the end result? You will receive the remission of your sins. And so it's the remission of our sins that we're interested in. To be saved, we've got to focus on Jesus. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Now, all life is organized around a center. That is, as a focal point. The earth, for example, revolves around the sun. Nations and states have their capitals. Counties have their courthouse. The city has its city hall. The school system has its superintendent. The wheel has its hub. The beehive has its queen. You see, those are the things that are the center. Well, for the Christian, Christ is the point of focus. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, listen to what the apostle wrote. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, Christ was a focal point in Paul's life. He said, for me to live is Christ. Some would have to say, well, for me to live is to be popular. I want to be popular. I want to be known as the most important person in town. I want people to look up to me. Paul said, for to me to live is Christ. Someone says, well, for me to live is to have money. I was poor when I was young, and I made up my mind that I was going to have lots of money when I got grown. Well, if that's the focal point of your life, I'm sorry for you. because the love of money is the root of all evil. Paul said, for me to live is not to make money, not to have lots of money, but for me to live is Christ. Is it wrong to have lots of money? Of course not. Some of God's great servants were wealthy people. But you see, you don't let the wealth get you. It's not the focal point of your life. And so for me to live is to have a good time, to have pleasure, to be able to go out on Saturday night, on the weekend, and just throw caution to the wind and drink it up on the weekend. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. There's something at the focal point of your life right now. What is it? You know. You alone can know. God knows, of course. See, he already knows everything, doesn't he? But is it Jesus? Is Jesus the most important person in your life? It ought to be Jesus. Paul in Philippians, the third chapter, was talking about all of the advantages that he had in the past. He was a Hebrew, the Hebrew. He was zealous concerning the law. Paul had a tremendous future as a Jew. But Paul, he said, and those were things that were positives in the life of the Apostle Paul. But here's what he said. Those things that were gain to me, I counted them but loss for Christ. Instead of him having power and prestige, instead of him having prominence as the focal point of his life and being able to brag about who he was and what he had, Paul said, all of that is lost. I give all of that up to have Jesus Christ. As he said down in verse 10 of that same chapter, that I might know him. Do you know Jesus today? Is he the focal point of your life? A life that is centered around self is a train wreck waiting to happen. Let me tell you about a man whose life was centered around himself. We read about him in the 12th chapter of Luke's gospel. And Jesus prefaced this parable like this in verse 15. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, what shall I do? For I have no room to store my fruits and my goods. He says, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there I'll bestow my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, thou hast goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. But God came to him that night. He said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? And then he said, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You see, this man was thinking all about himself. He talked about my goods, my fruits, my barn, my soul, my future. My. He was so wrapped up in himself that he forgot about God. And there are folk now, some may be even watching this telecast right now. They've been so wrapped up in other things that you've forgotten about God. You've forgotten about Jesus. You see, we need that focal point in our life. I believe that God made us with a place in our heart that only He can fill. You may try to fill it with alcohol. You may try to fill it with drugs. You may try to fill it with pornography. You may try to fill it with filthy language, and on we could go. But there's a place in there for God. And I have an idea that in that person who does not have God as a source of of their life, as the center of their life, and Jesus in their heart, there is that feeling that there is really something missing in your life. And that which is missing is the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus went to the cross to die to save you from your sins. But you see, if you're wrapped up in yourself, you are on a collision course with eternity. Who shall those things be which you have provided? Think about it. Think about your soul. Jesus Christ wants you saved. And by staying focused on Christ, we can have hope now and forevermore. Jesus is our hope. 1 Timothy 1, verse 1. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1 and verse 27. Jesus is our hope, our only hope. A lot of people today are wanting something they can just kind of latch their lives onto. I think that's one of the problems with a lot of the young people are getting into trouble today. Even those that are taking the lives of others, that there's something missing in their life. There's something wrong in their life. And they've never had anyone to tell them, Jesus is the answer. And Jesus is that which can fill that void in your life. And until He is in that place in your heart, there's going to be that aching void, that feeling of emptiness in your heart that only He can fill. Would you not give your life to it? Would you not turn it all over to Him today? You see, when you focus on Jesus Christ, it is so much easier to focus on your soul salvation. Friend, you have a soul. God created you a living soul, Genesis 2:7. Have you ever thought about your soul? Have you thought about it lately? Have you ever thought about the salvation of your soul? Have you ever thought about losing your soul? Have you ever thought about what Jesus can do for you? The difference He can make in your life. Jesus did not come into this world to make people miserable. No, He came to give us abundant life, John 10 and verse 10. And He came that we might have freedom from sin. Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And it is by obeying the truth of the gospel we can be made free from sin. And Paul in Romans, the first chapter and verse 16, said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There's power in the gospel to save your soul. You say, well, what in the world is the gospel, Brother Lambert? In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, Paul talked about the gospel. And the word gospel literally means good news. Good news. Glad tidings. Paul wrote, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which you're saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried and that He arose again the third day according to the Scripture. He said, I preach the gospel to you. You're saved by the gospel. You're saved by the good news. What's the good news? The good news consists of facts concerning the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's the good news. The good news is that Jesus died on the cross, He was buried in a tomb, and that He was raised from the dead by the power of God on the third day. That's good news. Because of that good news, we know that we can be saved from our sins. Now, let me point out that those words were written to the church at Corinth, to the Corinthian Christians. Question, what did the Corinthian Christians do to obey the gospel? How did they obey the gospel? What did they do to accept the good news, to obey the good news? Well, we turn in our Bibles to the 18th chapter of Acts. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 8, we have these words written by Luke. Many of the Corinthians hearing, what did they hear? The gospel. Believe, what did they believe? They believed the gospel and were baptized. In every example of conversion in the book of Acts, without exception, after men and women heard the gospel, they were all baptized. Why? Because Jesus said, if you believe and you're baptized, you'll be saved in Mark 16 and verse 16. 1 Peter 3:21 says the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now you see, we've got to stay focused. We got to stay focused on Jesus. And by staying focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a whole lot easier for me to focus on the salvation of my soul. Sometimes we get our attention drawn away from that. But we need to refocus about our soul. Somewhere, you'll be somewhere in eternity, 10,000 years from now. Where will it be? It's going to depend on the focus we make on things of eternal nature in this life. Stay focused on Jesus. Stay focused on the salvation of your soul. I want to thank you for watching Getting to Know Your Bible today. And in the closing moments, let me give you a very personal invitation to visit the Church of Christ in your community. If you're not certain where it is located, well, then let me urge you to call us and we'll get that address for you. Also, right now, why don't you just pick up the telephone? Call for the free Bible correspondence course. And we'll get that off to you in the mail just as quickly as possible at no charge to you. Or you may, if you prefer, you can take it online in the privacy of your home. However you take it, we want you to study the Bible, get to know your Bible so much better. Thank you for watching today. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214.